Hey there, welcome to Cosmic Confessions, a podcast by your spiritual besties.
I'm Alex.
I'm Avery.
And I'm Melissa.
Coming at you unhinged,
unfiltered,
and unedited.
Join us on this journey as we explore the profound,
the practical,
and the unlimited potential within us.
Let's awaken our spirits, ignite our passions, and elevate our lives together as the universe speaks and we listen.
Everyone, and welcome to the next episode of Cosmic Confessions. This is a part two. So if you haven't watched part one, our latest episode, go back and then come back here. Okay?
We're going to post the link below.
Yes, we'll make sure we post everything. But this is a juicy topic that we've dove right on into. So we're coming at you with part two today. Mm-hmm. And Avery, go ahead. What's
sure,
our confession?
Yeah. So part one was about us, the confession being that it's not always love and light, even in the spiritual community. And that, you know, part two of that is that sometimes we struggle with knowing our worth and what we're deserving of. And I still struggle with imposter syndrome all the time, every day. And I know it's something that Alex really wanted to talk about. So let's go in. Imposter syndrome, our worth, what are we deserving of?
Let's everything. Get into
the short,
it.
The short answer is yes. Do you, but let's talk about it.
Yeah. Maybe, and Alex, maybe you can start the episode off.
Alex needs both of the mic.
Someone give me the mic.
We'll give her both. We'll give her both.
Give me both.
Here
we go.
Alex, why don't you tell everyone how you would define imposter syndrome and like – how it shows up for people in their life. So if they haven't heard of it before, you know, just teach the class today.
Okay,
thanks.
I'll be the teacher for today. So for me, imposter syndrome, and I'm going to try and like make this as understandable as possible. But when I think of imposter syndrome, I'm thinking that like you are in a role, right? Whether that's being a mother or being a coach or being a doula or being in finance or whatever it is that you are in, right? And you're having all of these expectations that society places on us of what that means to be in that role. There is this aspect, the ego, that comes up and says, you're not good enough to be doing that. You're not capable of handling those things. You don't know how to show up in this way, or you don't know how to act in this way. And all of a sudden, right, our self-worth starts to be questioned. And we start to slightly panic, and it creates insecurity, it creates self-doubt, and all of a sudden that ego becomes stronger and it starts pointing out and picking out every single reason as to why you're actually not capable of being in the role that you're in. And I think that this goes so hand in hand with love and light and like spirituality being all about love and light, because even in the spiritual world, I feel like you actually experience imposter syndrome so much deeper, because you are expected to always be love and light and happiness. And there's actually so much darkness in that space and so much healing that's needed that it is really triggering, because it makes the ego go wild. And the ego, and I know a lot of people think, oh, well, ego is like more like cockiness and like, oh, you think you're better. Ego is actually fear. Like the cockiness is all like fear-based. It's all fear-based of not feeling like you are enough and needing to be this other person. Even with like narcissism. Like narcissism is all the hurt ego, the wounded masculine or feminine and the wounded child really running the show. And I think that when we can start to understand that imposter syndrome is actually so normal, because it really is the wounded child within us trying to be healed, we can start to understand the ego even deeper, and we could start to release the imposter syndrome. Does that make sense?
It does. But what went off in my head when you were saying like, oh, I'm not worthy of that job, that person, that situation, was like, for me – and I don't want to put the blame on anyone or anything, but being told those things first. So then I'm like, okay, is this also like, can this also be a part of like inner child healing?
For sure.
Like inner child work, because at one point in my life was I told like, oh, you really can't do that.
Absolutely.
You know, so that just like where those words and that like thread kind of connected for me. And then I'm like, oh, and we did do a poll and everyone wanted to talk about inner child stuff too.
Yes.
So that we could do that later down the line. I want to like focus on the imposter syndrome and like being responsible for that.
Yes.
A little bit.
And I think it actually really all does go hand in hand, because the one that's running the imposter syndrome is the wounded inner child. Mm-hmm. And I think that the thing is, right, is like we come into this experience already fragmented, right? Because our purpose, from what I believe, is that our purpose and mission on Earth is to create wholeness and to come back to being whole. But in order to do that, we have to heal the fragmented pieces that we've basically left along the way of growing up in this craziness of a world. And I think that from a young age, it's like we almost come in, and this can be triggering for some people. This is just my belief. So take it or leave it. If it sits with you, great. If not, absolutely okay as well. But we come into this world almost like choosing the type of situations or aspects of ourselves that we want to heal, right? So for me, I truly believe that I came here to learn and help heal the collective in terms of unconditional love, figuring out what it means to truly love ourselves unconditionally and to be able to spread that to as many people as I possibly can.
So you believe that's like your dharma, your purpose?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I don't, that's not triggering. I don't disagree, but my brain goes to like everyone's soul is pure. And I think you're going to know where I'm going with like the yoga aspect of it, that we come in with a pure soul and that we don't come in fragmented, that our soul is pure, but other things like our manas, which is like our sensory based choices. Mm-hmm. And then like, then there's the ego based part of our mind, and then there's the buddhi, which is like our intellectual part of how we make decisions and stuff. So I don't think we come in fragmented. I think our soul comes in pure, but I do think that we come in with past life karma. So maybe we're saying the same thing differently, but right. And I think Melissa, you can probably be like the third voice of it, because you know what we're both talking about. But like for me, like I'm learning now too in my yoga teacher training, like things that we don't fix in this lifetime are going to be carried over, and then it becomes like a karmic relationship, or, you know, a karmic tendency or karmic behavior. Right. So,
and for me, I find so it is kind of more of the wording, because to me that is fragmented.
Okay.
Right. So, and I think our souls are pure, but think about it, even when we are in the womb of our mother, right? There, if she's stressed out, if 100%. She is under any type of trauma, anxiety, anything, the baby's absorbing that. The soul's already in there. That's already creating fragmented pieces.
Okay.
And so, but I completely agree with you. I think our soul does, it is absolutely pure, but I think our purpose, once we land, right, is it's almost like this video game of these fragmented pieces that are all over that we're now picking up based off of our conditioning in our society, at home, how we're spoken to, how we're shown up. And then that attracts everything else moving forward. That's what's creating our reality.
Your karmic line.
Yes.
Okay.
I like that. If this is too deep for you guys, please ask questions below.
No, I love it. It's like making my brain like
expand.
Go yeah. and expand, because yeah. of like the way I look at it is very like, not from a textbook, but it's like how I was taught and how it was drilled in my head and how it relates to me. And I'm like, this is how I think of the life and the soul and how the brain works. Yeah. But you know, you always go a little deeper.
And I'm about to give you the mic, but I just did want to say, on like a totally vulnerable level, like I know you were saying, talk about imposter syndrome. For me, right, as a confidence coach, and that is something that I truly believe that I'm so good at. I'm so great at helping people bring out the inner confidence and allowing that light to shine. But I'm not going to lie, I was absolutely terrified to create this podcast.
Let's get into it.
And they know, like being totally vulnerable with you guys, I completely broke down, like hysterical crying.
Yeah.
For like 2 hours, and was like, I don't know if I can do this, because this level of being seen is completely different, is a different line.
Yeah. And let's just say that again. So Alex is a confident coach. When I met Alex, I was a different person. Like, she really brought confidence out into me. Okay. So now we're looking at someone who helps other people, and her face and her voice, and she was out there and couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
Like, And what did Melissa and I do? We were like, we gave her space. We weren't like, oh, you're fine, right? Melissa was also the first one to be like, okay, we witness you. We're honoring you. Like, go crawl in your hole.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Go be a hermit. When you're ready, we will remind you just how beautiful you are, how worthy you are, how this is good for you and your business, and like you're kind of practicing what you preach.
Yeah, 1,000%. And that's, I think I was, and I literally used the, when we were voice noting to each other, I was like, the imposter syndrome is so real right now, because who am I as a confidence coach to not feel confident on camera? And it really is, because in these moments, right, it's not about the camera, it's not about the podcast, it's about this inner child within me that at some point was taught that she didn't deserve to be seen or heard in these ways.
Right.
And I know. And having to heal that wound through this journey and to step into this authentic version and be this raw and vulnerable with all of you was absolutely terrifying. So, like, I want you guys, and I'm saying this because I want you to know how real we are as humans.
Yeah. And to like, also say, it goes back to what Melissa also keeps preaching is like, but if you find the right support and community, she had us to lean on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I'll never forget one of the things that I said to you too, which I say to everybody who like struggles with imposter syndrome, and I've had to coach myself through it, is don't you dare deprive the world of your magic.
Yes.
And your voice and your story and your gift, because they have to hear it. Yeah. It's not about you. It's about them.
Yeah.
And they need your medicine. Yes. So don't you dare
deprive
the world of your medicine.
Oh,
and that's
God.
That's what I tell myself, because let me tell you, when I launched my branding agency and so many other iterations of my entrepreneurship journey, it's so confronting. It's so, when you are in alignment with your dharma, with your spiritual purpose and your plan or God's plan for your life, it is so confronting, because it begs of you everything.
Yeah.
Everything. And it doesn't care about your ego. It doesn't, you know, it's like, yeah, you have trauma that you have to work through so you could show up authentically and so you can offer your medicine to the world. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do it.
Yeah, you gotta do it.
Yeah.
So there have been so many times where I've had to say that to myself in the mirror, like, Melissa, don't you dare deprive the world of the medicine that they need from you.
Yeah.
Don't you dare do that.
Yeah.
Do the work, confront it, and be a vessel. Be a vessel for what needs to come through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I'll never forget it. This one moment being a therapist just keeps like coming to mind. So I just have to share it. So when I first graduated college, it was like my first like psychotherapy gig. And here I am, like this young little, like bright-eyed little girl, you know, walking in to a mental health clinic on Long Island in one of the most like impoverished, like destitute towns on Long Island. And here I am, you know, typical clientele are like people, very low income, who struggle with severe mental health diagnoses, substance use, like really trenches, okay? Like really in the trenches, like really, really homeless, you know? And here I am walking in with like my cute little outfit from Express, you know?
You just bought for that day, the first day.
And here I am like showing up, you know? And I'll never forget my first session was with an incredible woman who ended up being one of my favorite clients to work with. She was a recovering drug addict and had a long history of mental health issues, hospitalizations and everything. And I'll never forget showing up. And I'm like, hey, I'm Melissa. I'm your new therapist. I can't wait to set some goals with you. And she just looked at me. She just looked at me up and down. She's like, oh, honey, you ain't going to last a day here.
Oh,
and
drink.
Oh my God.
Drink.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? But you know what I said to her, and what I say to myself, and what I say to everybody who like struggles with imposter syndrome, what I said to her was, you know what? Just give me a chance.
Oh.
Give me a chance. And you know, just give me a chance. And who knows, maybe I could really help you and maybe you could really help me.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes that's all imposter syndrome begs of you to do, is just show up.
Mm.
You know, you don't have to have it perfect. Just like show up, do the damn thing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Put your hands on the doorknob, get out the door. You know, it's like we think that we have to have this grand execution to like get rid of the imposter syndrome, and sometimes it's just faking it till you make it. It's just showing up. So what did I do the next day, my next session with her? In my mind, I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing, but you know what, I'm gonna show up as if I know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And if at the end of the day I just like I'm fully present and I show up, the rest kind of sorts itself out.
Yeah.
And it usually does, mm-hmm. you know? So just like, don't, number one, my advice, don't deprive the world of your medicine, okay? Mm-hmm. And your magic, the world's ready for you. So knock it off. Number two, number two is just show up. Just show up. That's all, that's, those are my two like nuggets of advice with imposter syndrome. Because it usually sorts itself out, you know?
And don't worry about the judgment, right? No, really because I think what makes, I think also what squashes imposter syndrome is when you are so unique, right? Because I think imposter syndrome also comes from judgment. It's like, oh, I can't be doing that because she possibly does that. And she's just way prettier, way cooler, or has more money, or, you know? Yeah. And then it's judgment. But if you're like, wait, I'm unique and no one is like me and no one is like you and no one is like you. So mm-hmm. it's like if we keep just being our true self and be unique and like, you know, when I do energy work and then I'm also a doula and then somehow that combined it and now I do like, I call it like a prenatal chakra alignment prep for moms who are about to go into labor. Like that is so long and wordy. And like, I'm like, it needs like a fancy, like, and then here I am, like, it needs a fancy name. And like, how can I just do energy clearing and meditation and sound bowls for pregnant women? Like, that's not fair. Like, and then I'm like, shut up. Yes, it is. Because it goes with what you do. It's unique. You are a doula. Right. You do energy work and chakra alignment and sound bowls. Make it part of your package.
Yeah.
You know, and it makes me unique as a doula, as an energy worker. I work with women. I work with moms. I love the sacral chakra before, during, and after birth. So it's like, that's me, you know? Like,
and there's also,
so cute. Also one last thing. Remember, authenticity has no competition.
Yeah.
It never does. Yeah. It never does.
Because it's just you.
It's just you.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Like, wow.
Part five.
I know. I'm like, are we in about to do a part three?
I don't know. This is just life. This is what it is. This is
I know.
Life.
I know. It's so good. Good. So but I will say, book what were you going to say?
No, bookend it, girl.
So what I will say, though, and I do think we absolutely, like actually should do a part three of this. but what I will say, because for those of you who are sitting there and it's like, okay, well, it's not that easy to just not be judgmental. And it's not that easy to just say, okay, yeah. I need to be authentic, or, okay, I need to spread my medicine to the world. So I'm fine. Because this is the thing, right? I was told that so many times and the imposter syndrome did not lessen. And I will say that what really helped me, besides the incredible community, right, was actually shining awareness and confronting the imposter syndrome and saying, okay, what are you trying to tell me? What are you so scared of? Okay, you're terrified of being seen, right? Okay, what's the worst thing that's going to happen now if you're seen? You won't get love. Okay, is that really true? Will I really lose love? Maybe you guys won't want to watch me. And you know what? That's okay, because I have to also get into the space of realizing that I can't people please everyone. And I think that's the other problem, right? Mm-hmm. Is we're in a society where everyone has to like you and everyone has to accept you and love you. And that's just not what it is. Like, you find your people, and then that's when that love and support actually fuels you up to be able to then show up. But I would say the biggest thing is the awareness. And then the authentic part and all of that then comes into play. Because I was told so many times, like, but it's your message. You need to do that. And I'm like, I don't care. I'm terrified and I don't know how to get through that. Mm-hmm. So what I will say, my biggest recommendation and like the thing that helped me after like hysterical crying and crying myself into a river and being able to really get to the depths of like what is going on here, right? What is happening with the imposter syndrome. It's about being able to create awareness around it, right? So like as I was saying earlier, it's about understanding that our emotions serve a purpose. They're here to signal something to us. It's like the car situation, right? That gas tank is on E, putting a happy sticker isn't filling the tank. You got to pull over. You got to fill up the tank. And I think that in that space, when we're able to say, okay, I am not the imposter syndrome. I am the one witnessing the imposter syndrome. What is the imposter syndrome trying to tell me, mm-hmm. when we can really understand that it's like, okay, it is this fear of being seen. It is this fear of losing love. It is this fear of not being accepted. It is this fear of being rejected. I think we start to say, okay, now that I've shined the awareness and I've let it speak, I've let it express itself, all of a sudden we start to take our power back, because that's really all these emotions want, is they want to be heard and they want to be able to move through us. Mm-hmm. And when we give them permission to do that, all of a sudden they're like, okay, I'm good. So what I will say, like my biggest recommendation before we get into a part three, I think we're going to do. Yeah.
This point, we might as well.
Yeah, we might as well. I would say become, next time you are like feeling that level of imposter syndrome or any negative emotion, sit with yourself. And as crazy as this might sound, detach yourself from the emotion and say, okay, and speak out loud, speak in your journal, speak to yourself in your head and say, what is this emotion trying to tell me? What is it trying to say? And just listen. And if there's a bunch of I don't knows, sit in the I don't knows, because the I don't know is really the ego being fearful of the answer. Yeah. The answer is always in there. So just take some deep breaths and listen, and the answer will surface. And just being able to give yourself those few moments every time will start to really truly transform your life. Mm-hmm. So that is my mission for you guys until you tune back into our next episode. So please make sure, comment below, let us know if you wound up doing this, let us know how it felt, let us know what came up for you, all the things. And of course, make sure you like, subscribe, send it out, any other questions. We're here to help guide you, and we're sending you love, and we appreciate your time and energy. So thank you. We'll see you in the next episode.
Yes, bye.
See you in part three.